Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Bedford Community Church. It's great to see everyone here, especially we've got some visitors today, so that's fantastic. Very glad you've come to join us. What we're going to do today on this Good Friday is hear the story and reflect on the story about Jesus coming into the world and dying for us and being raised to life again. And my guess is that everyone in this room has heard that story before. I'm just going to ask you to really hear it today, even if you've heard it before. Listen and hear it and feel this story. And now, if you're not a Christian, if you're a visitor and you don't believe this story already, then you've got all kinds of questions, of course, about, okay, this story's great, but how on earth could this possibly be true? What about this? What about that? I don't think I can believe this. And those are very important questions. And I'm very glad that you have those questions, and they deserve good answers. And I'm happy to help give answers if you're interested in discussing those. If you're serious about those questions, I'm happy to talk those through with you at another point. Today, I'm just going to ask you to relax and just hear the story. You might also have other questions if we're talking about a God that we believe is good, and yet He's made a world that is presently full of evil. Or you've got other questions about, well, if Christians are right about this, what about that? I'm just going to ask you again to relax and leave those questions for the moment. They're important questions. I'm not asking you to let them go and forget them. Let's just talk about those another time. And for today, we're just going to hear the story on its own terms. Does that make sense? Before I get started, let me just pray quickly, and you join me in prayer. Our great God and loving Father, we thank you for this story. We thank you for this true story of Jesus Christ coming into the world, your Son, our King, dying for our sins, and offering us eternal life through his resurrection from the dead. We pray now, Lord, that you'll speak to us through this story. Show us something of yourself and your kingdom. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Now, young people in the room, children, youth, Linda Houston's got a job for you guys. You get to help out in today's service. If you could go with Ms. Houston, that would be helpful. You don't have to, buddy. If you really don't want to, it's okay. But it is an important job. Right. So, our world actually is, in a lot of ways, really great. There's a lot of good and there's a lot of beauty in this world. And as I was thinking about it, I remembered a camping trip that my family took several years ago now. But we were at a different church at the time, and several families from the church went to Hamlin Bay for a camping trip. Anyone been down that way? Well, it's lovely. It's really beautiful down there. There was one day when I was had the opportunity to take a walk on the beach alone. Just myself. The rest of my family and my friends from the church were off doing other things, and I had a walk down on the beach on my own. And I don't know about you, I can look out at the stars in space, and that's pretty amazing to think how huge that is. But I'm almost more affected when I look at the ocean. And I know that space is crazy bigger than the ocean is. But the ocean's pretty huge compared to me. Isn't it? It is deep, it's dark, it's mysterious, it's immense, it's crushingly immense. And so far as we know, there is life from the top to the bottom. It's just teeming with all kinds of life. You go all the way down where no light even reaches, and there's life down there. And that's amazing to me, to see the huge ocean so rich and full of life. So I'm walking along the beach and I'm thinking about that kind of thing, but I'm looking at the beach and I said, well, this is really full of life too. There's these patches of green, the succulent plants down there. And I love those succulent plants with those thick, juicy kind of stalks, and they're green. And these ones had little purple blossoms on them, and there were bees tumbling around on these blossoms. And I thought, well, this is pretty amazing, too. This is touching me to see all of this life. And then this lady comes running down the beach saying, fish, big fish. English was not her native language. There was a stingray in the water, not far from the beach, actually. And so I went down to have a little bit closer look at it, but right there, here I'm interested in this life. Right there I know that there's danger in this world too. That I don't want to get too close to the stingray. It was in an area that was maybe 2 feet deep. I could have gone right out there. I don't want to get too close. It could hurt me. And sometimes human beings hurt ocean life. Like idiots, when they get close to something like that, they hurt it. So I'm reminded in the midst of all this life and goodness and beauty that there's also danger and pain in our world. And I looked up again towards the beach, and there are these limestone cliffs, and there are fences all around them with caution signs. Because if you climb up there and something breaks, you could fall and get hurt and die. Our world is full of death. And I looked down at another one of these green patches of those succulent plants with the bees buzzing around. There was the yellow sand, the green of the plants, the purple of the blossoms, and there was gray. There were the shattered fragments of a milk crate that someone had just chucked there. Now, isn't that a sin? We have this beautiful land here, and we just, and we throw this. And that milk crate there became a symbol in my head. We have all the life and beauty in the world, but it's also stained by human sin. And it made me think about the nearby town and all the other towns and cities in WA and big Perth up here and all the other cities in Australia and in the world. And how all these cities are bustling and teeming with life, from our beautiful little ones through us working and sleeping and eating and everything that we do in our lives. And our cities are full of crime and poverty and heartache. And every precious human life that begins in this world ends in death. Why is our world that is so full of life and light at the same time full of pain and darkness? So there is an awful lot of darkness in this world. And a man came into this darkness named Jesus of Nazareth. In him was life, and that life was the light for all humankind. The light shines in the darkness. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So Jesus came into this world like a lone light shining in the darkness. He came and he taught words of life and love and forgiveness and hope. And he also taught about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He taught about himself, I am the light of the world. But he didn't just say that about himself. He showed it. He healed people. He forgave people their sins. He loved people that his neighbors didn't love. He overpowered all the forces of darkness. The light shines in the darkness. Well, I was alone that day on the beach down in Hamlin Bay. My family and friends were out doing other things that you can do down there, including a tour of a cave. Has anyone been on a cave tour before? Ever been down underground in a cave? Invariably, you haven't, okay. Invariably, your tour guide will get you down into some deep recess of this cave. Yeah, and turn off the lights. They always do it. I haven't been to a cave in Australia, but I've been to several back in America. They always do it. And that's powerful darkness, isn't it? That is overwhelming. Black. You almost forget what light even is. And second after second goes by. And minute after minute in this overpowering darkness. And you start to wonder, would it even matter if they turned on the lights? Could anything be stronger than this darkness? Wouldn't the light just get engulfed? It feels like the darkness is eternal. If you were in the deepest darkness and someone did turn on a light and you could see it, how would you respond to that? Would you choose light and life? Or would you choose darkness and death? In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not accepted it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The world prefers darkness. When the light came, we sought to put it out. We cursed Jesus and rejected him. We tormented him and murdered him. And for 2,000 years, the world has continued to reject him. We continue to choose darkness over light. And sometimes people say, yeah, well, Christians have done a lot of awful things too. Where's the light? It's the same thing, can't you see? We love darkness so much that we will do anything we can to get away from the light. We'll even corrupt it. We reject the light. We corrupt the light. We do anything we can to stay wrapped up in darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not accepted it. But that lowest, darkest moment ever was the shining light of God's victory. In his death, Jesus overpowers all evil and death and darkness. He died for us who rejected him in order to give us life In his resurrection, he offers life and light to everyone. He offers light and life to you. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus died for you. Will you choose death or life? Jesus rose again. Will you choose darkness or light? God loved the world, this world. God loved this dark world, us, so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. A great God and loving Father, you alone are the source of life, love, and light. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. You sent him into the world, though we did not deserve the slightest goodness from you. You gave us the greatest goodness, the shining light of your Son, Jesus. And even after we rejected him, even after we killed him, you, Lord, rose him to life again, and now offer us life and light in his name. We pray now, Father, after you have spoken to us in this story and shown us that light, we pray that you will show us that it is true, that it is worth believing. In fact, nothing else is worth anything next to this message. Drive that home into our hearts, Lord. Don't let this be another day that we put that on the back burner. Now, we're going to celebrate the light that came into the world. We're going to turn our lights on, and we're going to sing, and we're going to celebrate Jesus. Had to color in the dark, so it was an extra challenge, but does anyone have some pictures they'd like to show us that you've colored? Oh, there's a couple there. Wonderful. Thank you, Helena. Anybody else? All right, well, take a moment to show your pictures to somebody. Okay, everyone, please, again, thank you very much for coming today. Please stay and join us for morning tea. And really think about that story. If you haven't given it a serious look and ask yourself, why would anyone believe this? We're here to talk about that. If you want more information on Sunday, we're going to be, of course, it's Easter. We're going to be thinking more about the significance of Jesus' resurrection. And then in the following several Sundays, we are going to have a series of talks on how we know this stuff is true. We're going to ask ourselves, how do we actually know Jesus raised from the dead? As improbable as that seems, as amazing a miracle as that is, how do we know that that happened? How do we know that what was recorded is what we have now in our reading? How do we know this stuff is accurate? This stuff, it's too serious not to give it a good, hard look and ask, is it really true? And we're here. I'm here. Whoever invited you here today, if you're a visitor and you have questions of that kind, ask them. Have a chat. Thanks again, everyone, for coming. We are going to sing our celebration of Jesus' resurrection one more time, and then please do join us for morning tea.